Good morning. So good to be here once again, and I want to thank you once again for the opportunity to be here, the privilege of being able to stand before you and speak to you the Word of God. I noticed when marking it that the invitation song was called Come to the Feast, and I'm not sure if that's an invitation of the Lord or an invitation to the luncheon afterward. But regardless, there is most definitely a spiritual feast for us in the Word of God. So if you would be opening your Bibles to the book of 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 23. We were in 2 Samuel 23 verses 8 through 12 for our class in here this morning. But for our sermon, we're going to be in verses 13 through 17. 2 Samuel 23, 13 through 17. In verses 8 through 12, as we studied in our class in here, we read about three men, these mighty men of David. Their names were Adino, Eleazar, and Shammah. And we read about these men and what they were able to accomplish in the name of the Lord, these great feats that they were able to accomplish in battle. These were some of David's best warriors. And we pick up in verse 13 of 2 Samuel 23, and we continue with these three men, and we're going to read about what these three men did together at one point in service to David and to God. And we are going to draw lessons from what they did about how we can serve God today, how we can be dedicated to God. 2 Samuel 23, verses 13 and 14 set the stage for the story that is to follow. And so we're going to allow it to set the stage for our lesson this morning. 2 Samuel 23, 13 and 14. Then three of the 30 chief men went down at harvest time and came to David at the cave of Adullam. And the troop of Philistines encamped in the valley of Rephaim. David was then in the stronghold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. These verses set the stage for what is about to happen. But what we are going to notice is that our service to God matters. Whether we are dedicated to God or not matters. And when does it matter? Serving God matters, first of all, when the battle lines have been drawn. We have in verse 13 that David is at the cave of Adullam, and the Philistines are encamped in the valley of Rephaim. And so we set the geography of where we are, that David is in this cave, and that word is translated cave. Really, this was a stronghold in a valley. And they are in this valley, they are in the stronghold, verse 14 says. The Philistines are over in the valley of Rephaim and in Bethlehem, as we read in verse 14. And so the battle lines are drawn. You have the Philistines, the enemies of the Israelites, who have taken this position, and David is here in this stronghold. When the battle lines have been drawn in our lives, we need to serve God. When the stage has been set for us to go to war, when we see across the plains an enemy before us, we need to go to war. The battle lines have been drawn for us spiritually. Satan is our enemy. He is our opponent. He stands against us. He stands against Christ. And we have been called as soldiers in the army of the Lord to fight against him. The battle lines have been drawn, and serving God matters. Serving God matters when your home is threatened. Notice in verse 14 that the garrison of the Philistines is in Bethlehem. Bethlehem was a city of the Israelites. In fact, this was David's hometown. This is where David grew up. And this is where the enemy is garrisoned. The enemy has invaded Israel and captured David's home. When your home is threatened, serving God matters. When a spiritual threat has come upon your family, upon those who live in your household, upon those who are close to you, whom you love, serving God matters. That we are going to be dedicated to him. That as Joshua said in Joshua 24:15, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Serving God matters when the timing is critical. Verse 13 tells us that these three chief men come to David at harvest time. At harvest time, David is in a cave at Adullam, this stronghold, and the Philistines are in the valley of Rephaim, and they have taken Bethlehem. Now, this is at harvest time, and if you think back to history and how life would work back in these days. Harvest time was one of the most important times of the year. That's when they would get their food that, if it was a good harvest, would last them till the next year. If it was a bad harvest, they would run out of food and they would suffer for it. Men would die. And here the enemy has invaded. And at harvest time, they have taken one of the cities. Think about the implications of that on these people. That at harvest time, the enemy is here. They are in our homeland, and they might be taking the harvest. They might take the food. This time is critical. The battle needs to be fought. They need to be chased out of the country at this time, when the timing is critical in our lives. When it comes down to it, and we're at a time where we need to look to the future, how are our choices now going to affect the future? If the enemy took their harvest, they would have no food for the following year. Think about the implications of that. Think about the implications of some of the choices you might be making this very day or this very week. How will they affect your life going forward? Serving God matters when the timing is critical. And serving God matters when no one else is moving. These three mighty men come to David when he's at Adullam and the Philistines are at Rephaim. And it sets the stage with David and his men on one side and the Philistines on the other, and they aren't coming to battle. No one is moving. Even when all others around us are standing still, we need to be active in serving God. Even when others might be lagging behind or coming slower than we are, we need to press forward. We need to serve God. Serving God matters when no one else is acting. We come to verse 15. As David is in the cave of Adullam and the Philistines are at Bethlehem. Verse 15, and David said with longing, "Oh, that someone would give me a drink of the water from the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." So, verse 16, the three mighty men broke through the camp of the Philistines, drew water from the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and took it, and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink it, but poured it out to the Lord. And he said, "Far be it from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is this not the blood of the men who went in jeopardy of their lives?" Therefore he would not drink it. These things were done by the three mighty men. What we notice from this account, this story of what these three men did, is how dedicated they were to their king, to David. They were so dedicated that when David said, "Oh, that someone would give me a drink," they broke through the enemy camp to bring him water. We are going to draw lessons from these men about how we should be in our dedication to God. How dedicated should we be to God? We first notice in verse 15 that these men were dedicated, first of all, to the desire of their king, to the will of their king. It says, David said with longing. David was thirsty. He had this longing. He wanted a drink. And he remembers from his hometown that there is a well by the gate of Bethlehem. And he says, "Oh, that someone would give me a drink of the water from the well of Bethlehem." So, verse 16, the three mighty men broke through the camp of the Philistines, drew water from the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. When these men heard what their king wanted, they pressed through the enemy camp, fought their way through the enemy army to bring him his desire, to bring him what he wanted. Are we dedicated to the will of God, to the desire of our king? Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." Just calling Jesus your Lord and saying that you follow him does not grant you entry into heaven. It does not grant you access to eternal life. Jesus says, "He who does the will of my Father in heaven, he will have eternal life. He will enter into the kingdom of heaven." Are we doing the will of God?
James chapter 1, verse 14 says, "Each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. And desire, when it has conceived, brings forth sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death." When we follow after our own desires, what I want to do, my will, that is when I am being tempted. That is when I will fall into sin, and that is when I will suffer death. Are we doing our will or the will of God? Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 17 says, "Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." You can know God's will. You can understand what God wants you to do. Are you doing it? Do you know what God wants you to do? Do you know what He has commanded you to do in the pages of Scripture? Are you doing it? Are you dedicated to God, willing to do His will? 1 John chapter 2 and verse 17 says, "And the world is passing away, and the lust of it." This world is going to come to an end. It's going to pass away. One day it shall be no more. And everything in it, the lust of it, 1 John 2:16, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, that is not of the Father, but is of the world. All of that is passing away. But, verse 17, "He who does the will of God abides forever." Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." And how do we access that free gift of eternal life? He who does the will of God abides forever. Are we dedicated to the desire of our King, of our Lord? Or do our allegiances lie with ourselves? Are we serving ourselves? Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 21, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." What you place value on, that's what you're following. And verse 24 of that same chapter, "No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will despise the one and be loyal to the other." You cannot serve God and mammon, or worldliness, the things of this world. You cannot give your allegiance both to God and to yourself, both to God and to the world, both to God and to sin. You must choose. Whom do you serve? When David simply said, "Oh, that someone would give me a drink," these men fought through an enemy camp to bring him a drink. That's how dedicated they were to the will of their king, to what he desired. Are we that dedicated to God? What does dedication look like in our lives? If we are dedicated to the will of God, what will that look like in our day-to-day lives? We're going to notice three things. First, dedicated servants are eager to take the initiative. Dedicated servants are eager to take the initiative. This was again at a time when no one else was moving. David is in the cave at Adullam in the stronghold. The Philistines are in Rephaim and at Bethlehem, and no one's moving. Yet these three mighty men go across no man's land. They go to the enemy camp so that they can bring their king a drink. Even when no one else was moving, no one else was going to battle, they were willing to go to do the will of their king. Dedicated servants are eager to take the initiative. Notice that David did not command them to bring him a drink. They come to him at this cave, and he simply says, not directed to them, "Oh, that someone would give me a drink." He didn't command these three of his mighty men to go bring him a drink from that well. He simply spoke. He simply spoke his desire, said what he wanted in passing. And you can see how the mighty men overhear, "Oh, that someone would bring me a drink." And they hear what their king wants. So they go. They go. Notice the first word of verse 16. It's just a two-letter word, but such a powerful one. So, David says, "Oh, that someone would bring me a drink." So, the three mighty men broke through the camp. So the three mighty men go. Are we willing to go when we hear the will of the Lord? Are we willing to move, to take action, even when we're not explicitly commanded to do something? If we know that it falls in line with our King's will for us, are we willing to do it? Are we willing to do whatever it takes to please him? And if we are willing to do that, how much more so when we are explicitly commanded? These men were so dedicated that David simply said in passing that he wanted a drink, and they went to such lengths to bring it to him. How dedicated are we when God has told us specifically to do something? When God tells us to obey him, to serve him, to choose him first and put him first in our lives? When God tells us to not lay up treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, those things which are perishable and temporary, but to lay up treasures in heaven? Are we so dedicated to God that we will do whatever it takes, make whatever sacrifices are necessary to serve him? When God commands us, or when Christ commands us, to go and make disciples, Matthew 28, verse 19, are we willing to take the initiative in obeying that command, to take action? Are we going out to preach the gospel to others, to tell people about Jesus, to invite people to learn more about Christ and about the gospel, to study with them from the scriptures? In Acts chapter 8, at a time when persecution had arisen, as we read in the first three verses of that chapter, and in Acts chapter 4, we read, those who were scattered by persecution, went everywhere preaching the word. The early church grew because each Christian went everywhere they could preaching the word, telling people what God said. Then Philip, verse 5 of Acts 8, went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. Now remember the relationship between the Jews and the Samaritans. The Jews hated the Samaritans. They had no dealings with them. Philip goes and he preaches Christ to them because Christ unites people. Even people with whom I might disagree, people I might dislike, I might look down on, they need the Lord too. They need the gospel too. Am I willing to tell them? Am I willing to share the good news with them? Verse 12, when they, the Samaritans, believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Are we willing to speak the things concerning the kingdom of God? That God has a kingdom. That Christ has been given all authority in heaven and on earth. That we need to obey him. We need to serve him. We need to obey the gospel so that, Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, he can convey us out of the realm of darkness into the kingdom of his Son. Later in Acts chapter 8, the Spirit calls Philip and says, verse 26, by an angel of the Lord, it says, arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So he arose and went. When the Lord called him, he arose and went. And we find in verse 27 how a man of Ethiopia, this eunuch, this Ethiopian eunuch, as we call him, was traveling home from worshiping in Jerusalem. He was sitting in his chariot, verse 28, and reading Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit said to Philip, verse 29, go near and overtake this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you are reading? The Spirit told Philip to go to this chariot, and Philip ran. Philip ran to obey what the Lord was commanding, what God wanted him to do. The Lord has told us, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. When we are commanded, are we willing to run? Are we willing to take action to do what he has said? Philip says, do you understand what you are reading? A simple question to open this conversation with this man about the word of God. And the eunuch gives a wonderful response in verse 31. How can I, except someone guides me? This was a man of humility who was open to teaching. And so Philip comes and sits with him in the chariot. And they read from the book of Isaiah, chapter 53. And the eunuch says to Philip in verse 34, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of some other man? Verse 35, notice this. Then Philip opened his mouth. Are we willing to open our mouths? When opportunities are given to us to share the gospel, are we willing to open our mouths? Or do they stay shut? Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, Do we go to the Word of God to tell people about Jesus, knowing that it is the gospel which is the power of God to salvation? It's not in how well I can present it. It's not in how much I know. It's not in how kind I am to them. All of those things are good and necessary. I need to know the Word of God to share it. I need to be kind and loving when I share the gospel. But the power is not in me. It's in God. And so am I willing to take people to the scriptures like Philip did? And beginning at the scripture, preached Jesus to him. Am I willing to proclaim about the man, the Son of God, who lived and died 2,000 years ago, but lived again and still lives today? That gospel message, am I willing to share it with others? Am I willing to tell others about the Lord? As they went down the road, verse 36, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" You can just see them going along in this chariot. And as Philip is telling this man about Jesus, about the gospel, about the opportunity for forgiveness from sins, freedom to be a servant of God, a child of God, to have this hope of eternal life. And as Philip begins to explain to him what he must do, the eunuch begins looking. He begins looking across the horizon. And as they go down the road, they find water. And the eunuch says, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? What now could keep me from being baptized?" Some people today have the complete opposite response. They hear the gospel and they want to find every excuse not to be baptized. But that's not what the eunuch did when Philip preached Jesus to him. When he heard the gospel, he said, "What hinders me? What now could keep me from being baptized?" Then Philip said, verse 37, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So he commanded the chariot to stand still. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. And at the end of verse 39, the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. When Philip had this command to go down this road, to go to this chariot, he ran. He ran to follow it. When Philip had this opportunity to begin at the scriptures and preach Jesus to this man, he took it. He opened his mouth. Dedicated servants are eager to take the initiative. What are we doing to share the gospel with people? Not just when the opportunities throw themselves in our faces, but what are we doing actively to go? Jesus didn't say, "Sit around in your buildings with the air conditioning on and wait for them to come to you. And if they beg you for a Bible study, tell them about me." No, Jesus said, go. Go into the world. Go out these doors. There's a sign over that door right there that says, "Behind these doors lies the mission field." What are we doing to go out and share the gospel with people? What decisions are we making to tell people about Jesus? What about our study of the scriptures? Are we willing to take initiative in our study, in our personal study? "Blessed is the man," Psalm 1, "who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the paths of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." What are we doing to learn more about our Lord, to study his word so that we can understand what his will for us is? Ephesians 5, verse 17. Are we dependent upon what others tell us about the Lord, or do we study for ourselves? Are we like the Bereans who, when they heard Paul's preaching, searched the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so? If there was ever anyone besides the Lord himself whose word you could just take for it, that this is the gospel, it would have been Paul. Yet the Spirit himself, an inspiring Luke, calls these men honorable, noble-minded, just for checking what the message is, to checking it against the Word of God. Are we people who are searching the Scriptures daily to hear the Word of the Lord? What about taking initiative in our service to others? God calls us to be servants of one another. Look in your Bibles at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse number 9. "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. Serve one another, not lagging in diligence," verse 11, "fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints. When our brethren have needs, when they have a need that must be fulfilled, are we willing to give? Are we willing to share what we have with them? That's who the early church was. Neither did any of them say that anything he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. They shared with one another, helped those who had needs. Verse 13 of Romans 12 ends, given to hospitality. Are we willing to open our homes to one another, to invite people to come into our homes, to spend this time in fellowship, to enjoy these close bonds that we have as saints, as fellow members of the household of God? Paul says, be given to hospitality. Not just when the absolute need arises that you absolutely must open your home. No, be given to it. Let it be something that you are completely given over to. That it is your habit, it is your practice to invite your fellow Christians into your home, to invite them to share what you have. Are we taking the initiative in such things? It is the will of God for us to love one another. Jesus said in John chapter 13 and verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. There are a number of features, if you will, that make the church of the Lord distinctive, that make us different from the rest, who are following after man-made doctrines, man-made positions. There are a number of things that make us distinctive if we are following the New Testament and it alone. But Jesus did not say, they will know you are my disciples if you sing without instruments. Jesus did not say, they will know you are my disciples if you partake of the Lord's Supper every Sunday. All of those things are vitally important to being the people that God wants us to be. But Jesus said, by this all will know you are my disciples, if you love one another. Can people look at us and see the love that I have for my brethren and know that I'm a Christian? Know that I'm different? Know that I'm one who is following Jesus? To do that, I can't just sit around. I can't be one of those people who are not moving, who are not acting. I need to take the initiative to fulfill the will of God. Dedicated servants are eager to take the initiative. Number two, dedicated servants are ready to do hard things. When David says in 2 Samuel 23:15 that someone would give me a drink of the water from the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate, so the three mighty men broke through the camp of the Philistines, drew water from the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. The enemy is garrisoned at Bethlehem. That's where they have encamped. And these three mighty men, when they hear that their king wants a drink, they go to the enemy camp, and they fight their way together through the enemy army. And then, think about this for a moment, this well is by the gate where the enemy is garrisoned. And so one of them will be here drawing the water from the well while the other two are defending them from the enemy that surrounds them. And then they've drawn the water, not an easy task. They've drawn the water, they have this cup of water, and now they have to fight their way back through the enemy camp while carrying a cup of water to bring it to their king. That's the kind of dedication that these men had to a simple desire of their Lord. Are we ready to do hard things to serve God? To do challenging things to serve God? That means serving God exactly the way that he commands us. David says in verse 15 that someone would give me a drink of the water from the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. Now, these mighty men could have heard that and think, well, there's another well over here where the enemy is not garrisoned. Let's go to this one and draw water from this one to bring it to David. They could have thought that. But it says, they broke through the camp, drew water from the well of Bethlehem. That was by the gate. The Bible repeats itself, and it does not do so on accident. When the Holy Spirit inspired these words to be written, it did so with a point. David says, a drink from the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. And so the men bring him a drink from the water of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate. Even though That was a hard thing. That was a challenging thing to do, to fight through the enemy army. They were willing to do exactly what David wanted. Are we willing to do exactly what God wants? That when God gives us a command, we will follow it in all of its specificity, in all of his distinctions of how he wants it to be done, the way he wants it to be done, when he wants it to be done. Are we willing to obey? Or do we search perhaps for an easier path? An easier path to take than what God has said. As Christians, we must be those people who do exactly what God has said, who study the scriptures, who learn and understand the will of God and do it in the way that he intended, even when it is hard. And so, when Jesus said, go and make disciples, well, we first of all understand, then we have to go. We can't obey that command without going. We have to make disciples. Not just people who say that they believe. We need to go and make disciples, people who are committed to day-to-day living. To do that, we first have to be disciples. We have to be those people who have taken up our crosses to follow after Christ, giving everything we have. Jesus said, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We need to baptize them to make them disciples by his authority, by the authority of the Godhead. As we read in that verse, are we doing exactly what he said? And then teaching them to observe all things, whatever I have commanded you. If we are not teaching disciples, we are not obeying Jesus. If we are not teaching what he has commanded, then we are not obeying Jesus. If we are not teaching all that he has commanded, we are not obeying Jesus. What are we doing to serve God? To serve the will of God in exactly the way that he has said it, even when that gets hard. It gets hard when a brother or sister has sinned against us, when they have wronged us, and when we have to go to them and call them to repentance, as Jesus says in Matthew chapter 18. That can be a hard thing to do. We do it, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, in a spirit of gentleness. That can be a hard thing to do. We do it without giving ourselves to quarreling and arguing, 2 Timothy 2:23, because, verse 24 of 2 Timothy 2, a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle with all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. That can be a hard thing to do. Are we ready to do hard things? Are we ready to serve God when there is persecution? When those in the world around us rise up against us? When they insult us? When they mock us? When they command us to stop? When they belittle us? When they shun us? Are we still willing to serve God then? When they hate us? When they curse us? When they revile us? Are we willing to bless them? To love them? To pray for them? That's what Jesus commanded in Matthew chapter 5. Love your enemies. Are we ready to do hard things, to do the will of God? That's what dedication looks like. Number 3, dedicated servants are willing to make sacrifices. After these men bring David this drink, we read how he pours it out. And in verse 17, he says, far be it from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is this not the blood of the men who went in jeopardy of their lives? To David, that wasn't just a cup of water. That was the very blood of those men, because they were willing to give their lives, to sacrifice their own lives, just to bring their king a drink. How dedicated are we to God? Are we willing to make sacrifices, even perhaps of our own lives, if the circumstances call for it, to obey Christ? If we would say that we are willing to give our lives, then why would we not be willing to give our time? If I'm willing to die for Christ, am I not then willing to live for him? How am I using my time each day? Is it focused on myself and what's good for me? Am I using my time to serve God? Am I redeeming the time? Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 16. What about my goals, my plans, and my purposes? Am I willing to sacrifice those for the will of God? to do what God wants me to do? Am I willing to sacrifice those for my brethren, for what they need and what they want? Philippians chapter 2 and verses 3 and 4, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Are we willing to sacrifice our own desires, our own interests, to serve others, to do what they need? Are we willing to be sacrificial in our giving? In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, as Paul is writing, as the Corinthian church has promised to send a gift, to financially collect aid to send to their brethren, and Paul is commending them for it, and Paul says in verse 2 of 2 Corinthians 9 how he was boasting of their willingness to give to the churches. And so now he exhorts them, don't let my boasting be in vain if you decide, oh wait, we can't actually give what we have promised. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6, Paul says, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, so that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. You think that if you are willing to give, God will not provide? Notice what Paul says again in verse 8. God is able, he has the ability, to make all grace abound toward you so that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. How many times does Paul use these words that signify everything, everything you need, all, always, sufficiency? God is able to provide. Are we willing to give? Verse 10, now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. When we are willing to give, when we are liberal and generous with what God has blessed us with what God continues to bless us with, when we are serving others with what we have, it causes thanksgiving to God. It causes praise to God for how good he is. When we give what we have, we are not drawing attention to how good we are, but to how good our God is. Are we willing to be sacrificial to bring glory to God? For he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, but he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart. What are we purposing to give? How dedicated are we? Are we willing to make those sacrifices like Jesus did? Jesus was the perfect picture of dedication to the will of God. He took the initiative. He came to this world. In the fullness of time, Galatians 4 and verse 4. He came to this world. He went to the cross to die for us. He was ready to do a very hard thing, the hardest thing, to go through the pain and the agony and the shame of the cross, to come to a point in his life where he, the Son of God, the eternal Word who became flesh, said, my God, why have you forsaken me? He came to that point because he was going to do the will of his Father. He was willing to make the ultimate sacrifice. Greater love has no man than this, he said, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And in the following verse, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Jesus gave his life for you and me if we do what he has commanded us. Are we dedicated like he was? Are we loyal to God, to his will, like our Savior was? We return to 2 Samuel 23. Let us close out our lesson by asking this question. Why should we be dedicated to God? What is the reason for this kind of dedication, which is eager to take the initiative, which is ready to do hard things, which is willing to make sacrifices? In verse 16, David does not drink it, but pours it out. And that might startle us at first at this point. These men have done such a great service for him. He was so thirsty, and they fought through an enemy army to bring him a drink. Then he pours it out. He says in verse 17, "Far be it from me, O Lord, that I should do this." What David is saying is that he is not worthy of that kind of dedication, of that level of commitment, that these men would do such a thing simply because he was thirsty. He says, "I'm not worthy of that." But don't miss the end of verse 16. He does not just pour it out. The Bible says he poured it out to the Lord. He offered it as a sacrifice to God. Now, what was he offering? Not just a cup of water. Because in verse 17, he says, "Is this not the blood of the men who went in jeopardy of their lives?" This was the lives of these men, the dedication they had that they would sacrifice themselves. David says, "I am not worthy of that kind of dedication, but who is?" Who is worthy of that level of dedication? And the answer is God. God is worthy of everything we can do for him, of every sacrifice we can make for him, of every challenge we can face in his name, of every action we can take, even when it seems like no one else is doing anything. God is worthy of everything we can do to follow him, to obey him, to serve him. So what are we doing? What are we doing to serve God? Are we dedicated to the will of God? Because in our world today, the battle lines have been drawn. The timing is critical. Many others are not moving. They are not acting. Many of our homes are being threatened, and our future is being threatened. What are we doing today? Are we dedicated to our God? We are going to offer the invitation of the Lord this morning. And if you have a need to make a decision now that you are going to dedicate yourself to God, if you have not obeyed the gospel, that you are going to make that commitment to become a disciple of Christ by being baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. If you have obeyed the gospel and you have fallen astray, you have fallen off the right path and you need to come home, the time is afforded to you. All things are ready. Will you come as we stand and sing together the song of invitation?